Good morning to you all. We're glad that you're here today at Grace Bible Church. We in our calls to worship have been in John chapter 21, working our way through that tremendous event where Jesus and his resurrected body appears with the disciples at the Sea of Galilee. And they're out struggling. They've been fishing all night long, haven't caught anything. And he hollers out to them. He says, "Have you caught anything yet?" And they said, "No." He says, "Put your nets on the other side of the boat." And when they did, they had a huge amount of fish that they caught. And verse 7, we pick up, "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved," which was John, "saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread." Now stop for just a moment and think about that. Here's our Lord, and there's an expression that's used here, a fire of coals there. The last time we saw that expression is where Peter is gathered around a fire of coals and someone comes and identifies him as one of the disciples and he curses God and runs away there. Now Jesus is back by a fire of coals and he speaks to Peter. Peter comes running up there and the Lord Jesus already has dinner done. Isn't that amazing? I like those kind of fishermen that... Not only do you fish with them, but they also cook, and they've got it all ready to go. I don't know if you know Ren, but Ren is that way. He can have something cooked up fresh and ready to go before you can bat an eye, and he has got some fantastic dishes that he can do. But he's one of those fishermen that when he fishes, he said, "I'm going to eat it," and he'll have it all fixed up and ready to go. But the Lord Jesus was there, and he had fish laid thereon, and Jesus saith unto them, "Bring of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all that were so many, yet was not the net broken. God had told him, put the net on the other side. They brought in a tremendous amount of fish. And the Lord is encouraging his disciples here. He's encouraging them. He wants them to know that even though he died and is now resurrected, that he's not going to leave them or forsake them. That even though he will ascend back up to the Father, his presence will still be felt. His presence will still be sure. His presence will still be guaranteed. The face of the Lord, that expression that's used so many times, is simply saying the presence of the Lord. To see his face and to know that he is near. That is the great comfort of the child of God. And the Lord is encouraging his disciples. And I want to encourage you today. Our Lord is near. We are meeting in his presence. And it's our joy and our privilege to sing unto him and to pray to him and to hear his word proclaimed. Amen? We are going to enjoy the presence of Jesus Christ today. Encourage your hearts in that truth.
Let's turn to number 270 to begin singing this morning. Number 270, we want to sing "Lord, I Need You." Number 270, and we want to stand together to sing.
Sometimes when life seems gentle,
the sky. and thoughts come to me.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for the beautiful weather that you have given us recently. Thank you for the cooler temps. Just thank you for the beauty of your creation. Thank you for the time that you spent to create that. And even with the sin's curse, it's a beautiful thing to see a sunrise or a sunset, or just to see your hand at work. This morning, Lord, I just pray that you'd work in the many requests that we have as a church body, Lord. I pray that you would answer each of these requests according to your will, and that we would plead to you, and that we would see you and as you answer. And thank you for being a good God. Thank you for providing for our needs. Be with us as we hear from your word today, Lord. Allow us to listen. Allow us to fix the things that need to be fixed in our lives, and allow us to leave this place a changed person. Thank you again for the opportunity to come before you and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated as we continue to sing now to number 665 near the back of your hymn books, number 665. Jesus led me all the way. The verse there is Psalm 23:3. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, may we follow our Lord, number 665. Number 548. We want to sing More Love to Thee, O Christ, number 548, and let's think about our hearts before the Lord and our desires that we truly would have this heart of love for Him as we sing number 548.
Thank you.
Jesus, infinite in mercy, he bridged the hopeless gulf our sin had made. He gave his Son to purchase our salvation. In Jesus Christ we meet God unafraid. Declare his glory among the nations, through all creation his triumph sing, till all earth's peoples bow in adoration, and Jesus Christ be everlasting King. Our God is faithful, he will work within us, fulfilling all the purpose he has planned, cleansing our hearts and filling with his Spirit, making us strong to keep his last command. Declare his glory among the nations, through all creation his triumph sing, till all earth's peoples bow in adoration, and Jesus Christ be everlasting King. Our God is sovereign over all creation, and soon his earth shall hear his mighty voice. With shout of joy the King shall come in splendor. Lift up your hearts, confess him and rejoice. Declare his glory among the nations, through all creation his triumph sing, till all earth's peoples bow in adoration, and Jesus Christ be everlasting King.
Appreciate that special in song by Dr. Watt. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn together to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and we're going to be focusing in on verses 8 through 20. And actually, this passage, the theme continues on through verse 9 of chapter 6. And I'm going to ask a question today, and it is, what do you want? What do you want? And we're going to be dealing with this passage and dealing with the subject of wealth. And what is the purpose of wealth, and what wealth can do, what wealth cannot do? Those questions are brought forth here in this passage by Koheleth as instruction for God's people. Last week we dealt with the instruction for how we worship God and the attitude that we're to have when we go into His presence, when we come into the place of worship, that we're to keep our foot, that we're to be careful, not careless, as we worship Him. And now in verse 8, we're going to pick up with this question, what do you want? And Koheleth is going to seek to answer that. If thou seest the oppression of the poor, and violent perverting of judgment, and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is all vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of the laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun. Now here we have a direct statement concerning the curse, the presence of the curse. There's an evil that is under the sun. Notice in verse 13, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, again a reference to the curse, that in all points as he came, so shall he go, and what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all of his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. There's a lot of things as you grow older that you begin to forget. Mostly the short-term memory is what is hurt the most. A lot of people will continue to maintain memories of the past, but short-term memory begins to slip away. But what a wonderful knowledge it is that God answereth him in the joy of his heart. God takes care of him in spite of what may have happened. Now you'll notice in chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, that the theme carries on, and we'll pick up with that at another time, but we're going to be focusing on these verses 8 through 20 today as we consider, what do you want? Do you really want the things of this world? Do you really want wealth? Do you really want these things? Well, consider what wealth can do, what wealth cannot do, and what wealth's purpose is. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. There was an old song that was written way back in the 1950s, and you're going to be overwhelmed by the depth of the English language in this particular song. But it's entitled, What I Want. That's what I want. That's what I want. Yea, that's what I want. Well, now give me money. That's what I want. A whole lot of money. That's what I want. Whoa, yeah, I want to be free. That's what I want. A lot of money, that's what I want. Now, the depth of the English language in those verses, I mean, it just reaches out and gets you there, you know. William Shakespeare applauding in the background. No, I don't think so. But the song became a number one hit. All right? It became a number one hit with the Beatles, all right, later on in the 60s, but it was written in the 1950s. And the whole point of it was, I want a whole lot of money. All right? Now, a lot of people get a whole lot of money. But what is its purpose? What is it going to do? And what can it not do? That's what Koheleth is going to take up in this passage of Scripture. And I think it will be helpful for all of us to understand that he is not going to attack wealth. He's not going to attack it. He just wants you to know what it will do and what it won't do. Because that's the problem that people have. They think, if I have a whole lot of money, I'm going to be all right in this world. Everything's going to be fine. And yet we see over and over again the failure. I think of Charles Schwab, the way back Charles Schwab. I think today it's Charles Schwab IV that's the leader of that investment group. But Charles Schwab, the first senior, was a man who loved money and made a lot of it. But he lost just about all of it in the 1929 crash. And he went forth from that moment, having lost just about everything, He told his wife and he told his family, nothing's changed as far as I'm concerned. We're going to live the same life if we have to borrow to live it. And he did. When he died, he left behind a debt of $1.9 billion. His son and his grandson had to dig their way out of that debt. He continued to purchase cars. He continued to purchase the things that made his life smooth and easy after 1929, even in the 30s. He was living up here, but he was borrowing all of it. He went to his friends, borrowing here and there and so forth. He went out of the country to borrow money so he could continue with his lavish lifestyle. And yet, he died broke. His sons had to rebuild and start all over again, and they've become quite successful because they fixed the mistakes of the past. The son almost became a pauper as he sought to build up the business again, reconnect with those people that had lost faith in his father. It's really a sad story to read of someone who thought that money was the answer, and for him it was not, because he burdened his children and his grandchildren, saddling them with horrendous debt because he thought that would keep him happy in this world. This particular section that we're going to be looking at touches on three things. Money's inability in verses 8 through 12. Money or wealth's ability in verses 13 through 17. And then finally, the true purpose of wealth in verses 18 through 20. And we're going to look at these things. We're going to share some thoughts in this regard that I think will help us. Now, I want you to understand something. LoveMoney.com, that is an actual website. Maybe some of you are familiar with that, I don't know. It's called LoveMoney.com, estimates that taking into account biblical evidence, Solomon's peak net worth, the writer of this passage, accounting for inflation, would have been in the region of $2 trillion in today's money. All right? Clearly, he was a man in a position to speak about what? Wealth. Clearly. From the thousands of horses to the barns that he possessed to the palace that he lived in, to the wealth that he had around him, the gold and the silver that had been given to him by other regents and kings and so forth like that. Clearly, he was a man that could speak in the position of money. He does precisely that in this passage of Scripture, where he lists three basic understandings about wealth. First of all, let's look at wealth's inability. Wealth's inability. Now, inability is not being able to do something. So that's what we're going to be focusing on. There are some things that wealth cannot do. And you need to understand that. You need to know that. As a believer in Christ, you need to know that. As a lost sinner, you need to know this. Because some people will trust in their money all the way to the grave and never trust in Jesus Christ. That's the sad predicament that many people are found today. They're just grasping after money, grasping after wealth, trying to make their way in this world, trying to have this, trying to have that, and they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The structure in the Hebrew is known as a chiasm. A chiasm is a literary device in which the central section is the main thrust of the argument. Actually, that will not happen until we get to the end of this passage and go into chapter 6, where we get into the main part of the argument that he's making here. In this case, wealth's inability is the bread, wealth's ability is the garnishing, and wealth's purpose is the meat. That's where we're going to get into the truth that Koheleth wants to make here. So, wealth's inability is the bread, wealth's ability is the garnishing. What is a garnishing? Well, for those ladies that like to make attractive dinner plates and so forth like that, My wife made a nice dish with Mrs. Turner on the for the ladies the other day with all these garnishes, and so it was beautiful. It was very nice. You almost hated to eat it because it was so pretty. You know, it looked so nice. You mess it all up. But, you know, a garnishing is something that's just put on the side. It's to look pretty. You wouldn't necessarily want to eat it. Some people do. But, I mean, it's edible usually. But some things are not to be intended. They're intended for looks. So that's the aspect. In verses 8 through 12, Solomon deals at least two things that money is unable to offer. And that's what we're going to focus our message on today. The two things that money or wealth is not able to offer. These two things are things we desperately want and rightly want. But if we think that wealth is going to bring them to us, we're going to be very disappointed. So let's look at the first. Wealth cannot guarantee, everybody say that word please, justice. Do you know that's being put forth today? If we just put more money to this, we can have social justice. It won't happen. Money will not solve the problem of justice. And that's social justice. That's the world's concept of justice. But even real justice, money cannot buy that. Now, some people say, whoa, wait a minute. I know a lot of people that have lots of money and they've been able to buy their way out of jail. Is that justice? No, it's not. That's not justice. That's a failure of justice. Don't look at that and say, that's justice. No, it's not. That is injustice. We've seen that over and over again where Hollywood stars get a pass. You know, if they wreck and hurt somebody, they get a pass. We heard about the president's brother was involved in some kind of an accident a few years ago in which somebody was killed. It was a man that was walking across the street and he was hit and killed. And then he ran away from the scene. He didn't stop to check on the individual. They just kept on going. Somebody happened to get a glimpse of the tag. They were able to find out who it was. And because of all the connections, they were able to get him off. And the wife and the children that were left behind never got a dime. Just recently, after a lawsuit, they're going to say, well, we're going to give them some money now. This has been, you know, years after the fact. No, I want to make this right. I want to help in any way I can. None of that. Having to go to the courts to get it to unfold. When we think of corruption, our mind immediately goes to what? Government, does it not? Government. This is an interesting fact that I found in my study. In 2022, the Transparency International Corruption Perceptions Index, how many of you knew that there was such a thing? I didn't know either. I just started Googling corruption in government. And there's actually an index on this. It rates every major government on the planet. And guess where America scored? We scored on the 51 out of 100 rating. Mostly because of all the liberals that were on this particular index that said we have terrible social justice stuff. We haven't given reparations to slaves. And I go down this list of all the liberal talking points on that. But here's the thing. The United States has a very robust anti-corruption law code. We know this. It's been on the books for some of these things for 150 years. How many remember Tammany Hall and all the corruption that was there back in the early teens and the 1920s? You had all these mob bosses from Chicago. Mr. O'Pager's been hiding something. He was Al Capone's nephew. No. Well, that's Italian. You're Norwegian. That wouldn't work, would it? No, we couldn't make that work. Yeah. But you lived in Cicero. That was where Al Capone lived, right?
He lived a couple of blocks from his house.
Hmm. Do you have any Italian blood in you? Yeah. That was a lot of crime bosses. And as a result of that, there was all kinds of new laws that were made to quell some of the horrible, terrible things that were going on. We have a lot of robust laws in place, but what's the problem? We're not enforcing them. We're not enforcing them. So the justice level has gone down. In the United States of America, that's supposed to be a leader in the world for justice. Billions of dollars have been spent on investigations. They still don't know who brought drugs into the White House down in the basement. We've got cameras everywhere. We've got security guards everywhere. But they still don't have an idea. All right. Was there a real investigation that took place? I don't think so. All right. Somebody is covering for somebody else. That's a problem, is it not? And no amount of money that you put toward it is going to solve the corruption of the wicked heart. And this is the tie-in. Corruption in the heart. The pursuit of wealth on the basis of a corrupt heart, as opposed to having wealth and knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior and using that wealth for His glory and for His praise and for His honor. There's a whole different perspective on that. So, wealth cannot guarantee justice. We hear it all the time. If government just had sufficient resources, problems would go away. You hear this all the time in Congress. Solomon's point is that it will never happen. It will never happen. The word translated watch carries with it dual senses. On the one hand, it has the idea of protect, to watch over. It also can be translated to be circumspect or careful. Despite the resources available, there is mistrust and cover-up within government agencies. Some officials protect their compatriots, and others are suspicious of their co-workers. This happens in government, but it also happens in the business world, on the corporate scene. It happens in churches, where there's corruption because of the wickedness of the human heart. Money will not buy justice, not true justice. And you need to know that. That's brought out. If money is not the answer, then what is? What's the answer then? The solution is none other than righteousness. Amen? Righteousness in place of the corrupt heart. There needs to be salvation in Jesus Christ. That will change the whole life and the whole perspective. You read the life of a Letourneau and what he was able to do with his millions of dollars, giving away 90% of his income to Christian missionary causes and still being able to continue on. J.C. Penney, go down the list of all the different men that founded large corporations and used their dollars to support works for Christ. J.C. Penney was one that helped funded the writing of The Fundamentals, which was a whole series of books that were written to give out to churches all across America to teach people about the basic doctrines of the Bible. And J.C. Penney put some of his money in. There were other millionaires that did that as well to pay for the writing, the production, the printing, the mailing of all those books out in 1909. What an amazing feat that was accomplished when people used their money, God-given wealth, for the causes of Christ. But I want you to see there's a second area, an inability to offer genuine satisfaction. Notice this in verse 10 of our passage here. He that loveth silver shall not be what with silver? Satisfied. Nor he that loveth abundance with increase, this is also vanity. Now, he goes on to point out in verse 11, when goods increase, what else increases? Those that eat them. We're sitting at 7.5 billion people on this planet. And there is estimated somewhere close to 1.5 to 1.8 billion people that are starving to death today because we don't have enough food. We don't have enough food. Sitting in the port of Port-au-Prince, Haiti, right now, is millions of pounds of American food that was sent by USAID to help out with the people. You know who controls the distribution of that? Not the government of Haiti. It's gains. Gains. Royden told me, he said, you would not believe. U.S. food being sold at extremely high prices to fund the gains. You know, we should be down there making sure that the food that we're sending goes to the people, but we're not there. They're controlling the distribution of rice purchased by the United States government and sent down there to help, and now it's being sold at extraordinary values. What is at the heart of that? Corruption. Corruption. When goods increase, those that eat them increase as well. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? One of the things that Roy had mentioned was the fact that the people can't afford to pay the prices that the gangs are charging. So that means the gangs aren't making any money. That's a whole lot of stupid, is it not? You charge more than the people can pay, and you don't make any money, and you wonder why. This is at the heart. This when the heart is corrupt and it's leading the way in the pursuit of wealth, it will not understand basic truths. The heart will not accept basic truths that are given. Verse 12, the sleep of the laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Right? There's an inability in wealth. Why can't the rich man sleep? He's worried about his money. He's worried about his investments. He's worried about somebody stealing his money. Somebody, you know, today with the craziness that happens with hacking, one of these days it's going to show just how much money has been lost just because of hackers getting in and getting bank accounts, checking accounts, savings accounts, stealing in that regard. And that which you worked so hard for is gone in just a matter of seconds. That's what happened in 1929 with Charles Schwab. He was a multimillionaire and lost just about all of it in one day. Imagine losing that kind of money. That's why there were people jumping out of 10-story buildings on Wall Street, because all their money was gone. What do I have to live for? And then they were gone, entered into eternity. How sad. But this Bible verse brings that out. The sleep of the laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. It's precious because he's laboring for a purpose. Laboring for a purpose that's real, that's genuine. What commandment was given in the Garden of Eden? You're to toil, and you're to labor, and you're to take care of the fruit that I provided to you, and you're to bring forth more fruit. That was the idea. Bring forth more fruit. Wealth cannot offer satisfaction. The one who loves money, loves pursuing wealth, will not be satisfied in that pursuit. When goods increase, they increase who devour them, and what advantage has he gained? Sweet is the sleep of the laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the wealthy will not let him sleep. Will not let him sleep. Three reasons are offered here, and this is where I'm going to spend the rest of my time. Three reasons are offered here as to why money, wealth, cannot offer satisfaction. Number one, wealth cannot offer satisfaction because lovers of money never are satisfied with what they have. They always want what? More of it. So it's an endless cycle. Endless cycle. I always was mesmerized by those guys that got inside the steel ball with a motorcycle. Anybody ever see those big steel balls? And they get inside with a motorcycle and they start revving it up, and then they start going around in circles. When do you stop? At the bottom, right? Those guys will get it going around and round and round and round and round. I'd be so dizzy, I'd be throwing up, and I'd be all over the place inside that thing. But that's money. That's pursuit of wealth with a human corrupt heart. You're just you're going faster and faster and faster, but you're not going anywhere. And when you stop, you're still inside the cage. That's the picture I want you to see that's painted by this. You're expending energy. You're going fast, but you're going nowhere because wealth cannot satisfy. You always want more. Number two, wealth, money, cannot bring satisfaction because it always invites more what? Problems. This is the untold secret, so to speak, of wealth. It invites more problems. If you're well-dressed today and you're walking on the streets of New York City, you're a target immediately for thieves. How many of you heard about the man that was killed this week on the street? It was a horrible, horrible stabbing that took place. But he was targeted because he was dressed up. He was with his wife. They were walking down the street. And this man came out after them, stabbed him multiple times. He died there on the sidewalk, had his stuff stolen, and he's dead. Multiple problems arise whenever wealth is pursued. All kinds of things. There are people that become jealous of that wealth. All you have to do is ask somebody that wins the lottery. You want to find out who your friends really are? And who aren't your friends? It's an amazing thing to witness. Books have been written about this, where people have made millions of dollars in the lottery and then they have multiple lawsuits over and over and over again. Brought by whom? Their friends, their family members. Because they wanted a piece of the pie. Listen, more problems come about by pursuing wealth with a human corrupt heart than you ever imagined. Whenever you provide, there's more mouths to feed. More problems arise. That's the picture that's given to us. It invites more problems. But then, number three, money cannot offer satisfaction because it robs the rich of this. A simple thing. Something that we do every night. And that is sleep. Sleep. Sleep deprivation is a major problem in the United States of America. Do you realize that the other nations of the world, most of them, have little problems with sleep deprivation? It's only the advanced societies that have it. Why is that so? We're busy, 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 busy. If you spend time on your electronics right before bed, it will take you longer to go to sleep. Because your mind is still busy and it takes a while to unwind and be able to do that. The technology that we have robs us of sleep. But having a lot of wealth can, not always, because if you're a believer in Christ and you're using it for His honor and glory, the Lord will give you sleep all day long. But the ones that are worried about and controlled by the pursuit of wealth lose in the basic element of life. And that's just sleeping at night. Sleeping at night. Many people have to have the aids of drugs and all kinds of stuff just to fall asleep at night. Now, you know, when you get older, it does get a little bit harder to sleep. And sometimes, you know, you have to take a little bit of something, melatonin or something to help, you know, go to sleep in the evening time. That's fine. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about, those that live the life, they're burning the candle at both ends, and then they try to pillow their head at night and they can't fall asleep. I've just described to you many of the Wall Street barons. I've just described to you many of the Hollywood elite. They are constantly hiring sleep doctors. They're burning the candle, they're living life, they're using their money for their selfish pursuits, but they can't fall asleep at night. Why? Wealth has an inability to provide the basics of just sleep. Now, it'll buy you a nice bed. You know, that's nice, nice mattress to sleep on. It can buy you a MyPillow. Right. I love my MyPillow. I have to say that. You may not like Mike Lindell, but I love the MyPillow pillow. I've been after my wife for Christmas. I said, honey, I want that MyPillow 2.0. Before he goes out of business, after he lost that major lawsuit type thing. Before he goes out of business, please get me that 2.0, all right? And I like throwing it in the dryer, and we turn it on, and it swells up again, and whoo! I can sleep with that. You can buy expensive sheets, all right? Satin. Or you can buy these very tight-knit cotton sleep, or you can get Giza sheets. How many of you have heard of the Giza sheets? Made from cotton from Giza on the Nile River, all right? So you can get all these things with the money that you have, and then you lay down. Where's the sleep? It's missing. You see, you lost something in your pursuit. You lost something. You lost peace of mind, and you lost the ability to just be able to rest and sleep. This is important, folks. This is in the Bible. We don't overlook it and say, "Oh, we ought not to be preaching on it." Oh, yes, we do need to preach on it. There are people that are graduating from college and pursue wealth. And then they get into their 30s and all the wheels start falling off of their life. And then there's the attraction of drugs to help us feel better. Marijuana, that's the gateway drug because it wants to make you feel better. And the next thing you know, you've moved on to other things. And you read about them in the paper all the time, the tragedies. Look at the pictures of people online. Look at the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Department. I go there quite often because we see a lot of people up here. I'm looking to see what's going on. And I see people in there with emaciated bodies, aged well beyond their years. But they've got money to buy drugs and to take those drugs, looking and searching for what? Just a good night's sleep for some of them. Just trying to find a little bit of a break from the world. I'm here to tell you about one that will deliver you from all of that. And it's the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, who gave His all on Calvary's tree because He loved you and He loved me. He wanted to deliver us from the rat race of the world and its pursuits. Money cannot buy you happiness. It cannot buy you sleep. The pursuit will only leave you wanting. And as he goes on to say, when you die, you can't take any of it with you. You may have a very expensive casket that you can lay in for however how long, but you know what happens to caskets underground, especially in Florida? They rust. Those expensive metal ones and the wooden ones rot. You know, it all breaks down. Second law of thermodynamics. Everything's breaking down. Entropy. Falling apart. All that money couldn't buy happiness, and it will not buy heaven either. Only the blood of Jesus Christ and His righteousness provides the way of escape for you this morning. Let me just say this as we close. Be careful. Be careful. Wealth has a very serious failure rate. It's just unable to do certain things. Now we're going to find out in our next thing what money can do. Its ability. It can cause a lot of pain. That's what we find out. That's the ability. But then there's the right purpose for it. It's found in those last verses. And we'll unfold that, Lord willing, as we pursue the truth of this passage of Scripture. Solomon is speaking from experience. And he's letting us know it's not all that it's cracked up to be. We need to exercise wisdom, and we must pursue the God who gives the gifts. Pursue after Him. Don't lose your vision of Christ in your pursuit of all these things. Keep your eyes on Him and let Him provide. Our theme verse for this year for the school is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first. Proton, first in order of operations. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things. And what has he been talking about? Food, drink, and raiment. Clothing. All these things shall be added unto you. God has the plan laid out. God has the program. We just have to follow after Him. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, work in our hearts today. Koheleth touches on some things here that are near and dear to the hearts of human beings. We enjoy things. We love things. We like doing things. We like going places. We like having money to be able to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But whenever we think that money can do certain things that it's incapable of doing, we move into an area of error that can be very, very detrimental. Dear Father, I pray that You'd work in our hearts and that You'd help our focus to be accurate. Let Your Word teach us in this regard. And may we never substitute wealth for Christ. We can't buy our way to heaven. We must have the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone. That's the currency of heaven. We must have His righteousness. Our righteousness is nothing, but His righteousness is everything. Lord, may we pursue the things that are worthwhile. May we use the wealth that You may give us for Your honor and glory, and not squander it and waste it on ourselves. It'll never be recovered. And there's certain things it will not do. Please work in our hearts, dear Father, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's close with 188 in our hymn books. 188. As our pastor mentioned, we can find our riches, our rest, our trust, our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has unsearchable riches. Number 188. Let's stand and close with verse number 1. This morning from Your Word, we thank You for, Lord, the things that You've given us and the ability You've given us to live here in this earth, and yet, Lord, the perspective that we need to have that all things are Yours. May we use the things that You've given us not, Lord, in a greedy way or a domineering way or an oppressive way, but, Lord, in a way that we use them as a tool for Your glory and honor, Lord, to help others and to serve, and that these things would not dominate, Lord, our life and the things that we pursue. I pray that our thoughts would continue to be on our Savior Jesus Christ. And we do thank You for His riches and the things that He's done for us in His love and mercy. Go with each one of us today, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.